Penguin Random House Audio presents The Bourbon Kings by J.R. Ward. Read for you by Alexander Sendes. You are cordially invited to a Derby brunch in celebration of the 139th running of the Charlemont Derby, Saturday, May the 4th, 10 o'clock, Easterly. RSVP Newark Harris at gmail.com. Chapter 1. Charlemont, Kentucky. Mist hung over the Ohio's sluggish waters like the breath of God, and the trees on the Charlemont shore side of River Road were so many shades of spring green, the color required a sixth sense to absorb them all. Overhead, the sky was a dim, milky blue, the kind of thing that you saw up north only in July, and at 7:30 a.m., the temperature was already 74 degrees. It was the first week of May, the most important 7 days on the calendar, beating the birth of Christ, the American Independence, and New Year's Rockin' Eve. The 139th running of the Charlemont Derby was on Saturday, which meant the entire state of Kentucky was in a thoroughbred racing frenzy. As Lizzie King approached the turnoff for her work, she was riding an adrenaline high that had been pumping for a good 3 weeks, and she knew from past experience that this rush-rush mood of hers wasn't going to deflate until after Saturday's clean-up. At least she was, as always, going against the traffic, heading into downtown and making good time. Her commute was 40 minutes each way, but not in the NYC, Boston, or L.A. densely packed parking lot version of rush hour, which in her current frame of mind would have caused her head to mushroom cloud. No, her trip into her job was 28 minutes of Indiana farm country, followed by 6 minutes of bridge and spaghetti junction delays, capped off with this 6 to 10 minute against-the-tide shot parallel to the river. Sometimes she was convinced the only cars going in her direction were the rest of the staff that worked at Easterly with her. Ah, yes, Easterly. The Bradford Family Estate, or BFE, as its deliveries were marked, sat high up on the biggest hill in the Charlemont metro area and was comprised of a 20,000-square-foot main house with 3 formal gardens, 2 pools, and a 360-degree view of Washington County. There was also 12 retainers' cottages on the property, as well as 10 outbuildings, a fully functioning farm of over 100 acres, a 20-horse stable that had been converted into a business center, and a 9-hole golf course that was lighted, in case you needed to work on your chip shot at 1 a.m. As far as she had heard, the enormous parcel had been granted to the family back in 1778, after the first of the Bradfords had come south from Pennsylvania with the then Colonel George Rogers Clark and brought both his ambitions and his bourbon-making traditions into the nascent Commonwealth. Fast forward almost 250 years, and you had a federal mansion the size of a small town upon that hill, and some 72 people working on the property full and part-time, all of whom followed a feudal rules and rigid caste system that was right out of Downton Abbey. Or maybe the Dowager Countess of Grantham's routine was a little too progressive. William the Conqueror's times were probably more apt. So, for example, and this was solely a Lifetime movie conjecture here, if a gardener fell in love with one of the family's precious sons, even if she were one of 2 head horticulturists and had a national reputation and a master's in landscape architecture from Cornell, that was just not done. Sabrina without the happy ending, darling. With a curse, Lizzie turned the radio on in hopes of getting her brain to shut up. She didn't get far. Her Toyota Yaris had the speaker system of a Barbie house. There were little circles in the doors that were supposed to pump music, but they were mostly for pretend, and today NPR coming out of those cocktail coasters just wasn't enough. The sound of an ambulance speeding up behind her easily overrode the hot pitter-patter of the BBC News, and she hit her brakes and eased over onto the shoulder. After the noise and flashing lights passed, she got back on track and rounded a fat curve in both the river and the road, and there it was. The Bradford's great white mansion, high up in the sky, the dawning sun being forced to work around its regal, symmetrical layout. She had grown up in Plattsburgh, New York, on an apple orchard. What the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?